Good evening. We will go ahead and convene this regular special board meeting of directors for Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District. We will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Director Garcia, could you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Ready?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation,
under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we will continue with the roll call of the Board of Directors. Vanessa, would you please administer the roll?
Director Fellow?
Here.
Director Trevino?
Present.
Director Chavez? Director Garcia?
Present.
President Santana?
Present. Okay, so we have four directors present. Director Chavez is currently not with us. Moving on to public comments.
Adoption of the agenda.
I apologize. Okay, moving on to adoption of the agenda. Can I get a motion?
So moved. Trevino.
Moved by Trevino, second by Director Fellow. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay, that passes on a 4-0 vote. Now moving on to public comment. Vanessa, do we have anything?
We did not receive any written public comments. However, we do have someone from the audience that wishes to speak.
Absolutely.
Good afternoon. Is this working? You can hear me? Okay, good afternoon. My name is Judith Romine, and I am here because I was a recipient of a controller, a sprinkler controller through Ecotech, and I also received the high efficiency sprinkler heads. Unfortunately, they were so efficient, they just about killed my orange tree. But, you know, thank goodness we had that rain in early January that saved my orange tree's life. I've had it for many, many years, and it's a very prolific tree. So I that was installed in September of 2021. I had a very difficult time trying to find who was the company that did that. And then finally I found Ecotech, and that was in May of 2022, and Jennifer came out to my house with a gentleman, and they took a look, and they told me that the sprinkler problem was all my fault, that I had not plugged the lawn so that the water could soak in. Well, of course, when the sprinklers were installed was in September 2021. So, you know, right before the time change, so I can't see, I have the sprinklers going on in the evening, I can't see what it's really doing. So it wasn't until spring, May, you know, approximately, when I finally was able to get a hold of Jennifer, and she came to the house, and she actually gaslit me. You know, that's the way she treated me. With, you know, I'm sure we're all, you know, that's a new buzzword, to gaslight someone, and Jennifer did that to me. And it was extremely upsetting the way she treated me. So anyway, the sprinklers don't work. She said it was my fault. So, you know, then I'm just stuck with those sprinklers. So then early March, I found out, finally, after much ado, an exhausting search, I found her phone number. I mean, you can't just go to the internet and do a search because of the problem with being Upper District, you know, and the confusion with Upper San Gabriel Water District. I mean, something really needs to be done about this problem so that people can get a hold of you if they have a problem such as this. So anyway, I did end up speaking to Jennifer, and she treated me in a gaslight manner, and she was very rude to me, and she hung up on me, which I thought was highly unprofessional. And I don't appreciate being treated so disrespectfully. So she said she was very argumentative. She argued with me. She insisted that she had given me a manual.
Yes,
however, she had never given me a manual.
We have a 3-minute time limit.
Okay, anyway, she promised to send me a manual, but she never sent it. So,
thank you.
I wonder why she has done all these things. Thank you.
We'll take your comments under advisement. Thank you. All right. Do we have any more public comment today? Okay. We will move on to item 5, committee reports. We have one committee report in the packet, the Admin and Finance Committee. Do we have any, I guess I'm the chair of that committee. I have nothing further to add. Moving on to consent calendar. Can I get a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, moved by Director Garcia, second by Director Fellow. And can I, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, that passes on a 4-0 vote. Moving on to item 7. We'll go with 7A, professional services agreement. Is there any discussion on this item?
Patty, you want to give a quick overview?
Sure. Good evening, directors. Item 7A is a professional service agreement with G3LA, which is the contractor that provides the content for our landscape workshop programs. We had initially entered into a contract with them back in October of 2020 under the authority of the general manager. We're now at the point that we have, we are going to surpass the general manager's authority, so we're taking this matter to the board so that we can increase the contract by another $50,000, which would bring the total not to exceed amount for G3LA at $100,000. Staff and I have been working with G3LA to create innovative content. A lot of them are first of its kind classes that Upper District continues to offer. And the good news is many of the classes that we've been developing through G3LA have been taken by Metropolitan and incorporated into their list of classes. So we would hope to continue working with them.
Excellent. Okay. Do we have any discussion on this item?
Move approval of staff recommendation.
Second.
Okay. We have a move for approval from Trevino, second by Director Garcia. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That passes on a 4-0 vote. Moving on to 7B, Resolution 3-23-6-655, Valley County Water District Aqua JPIA nomination.
I'll take that one. We received a communication from Valley County Water District. Oh, thank you. We've received communication from Valley County Water District that their director, Lynette Checo, would like to serve on the Aqua JPIA. So we are recommending to the board that you take action on that. We're coordinating to make sure at the Aqua JPI meeting in Monterey that either our representative or our delegate are available to support that nomination. So our recommendation, the board takes this action and adopt a resolution in support.
Madam Chair, Ms. Pacheco has been a very loyal attendee for all the Aqua conferences. She's really up to date, and I'm very proud to nominate her and pass it, put up a motion approved.
Excellent. Yes. Do we have any other comments, or do we have a second?
Second
by Director Garcia. I'd like to add, yes, we are very excited to, let's vote on it first, I suppose. so do we, all in favor of passing Resolution 3-23-655?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right, that passes on a 4-0 vote. We are very excited to have you as our nominee, and we know you'll do a fantastic job.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Okay, moving on. Item C. I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
All right, we have the San Gabriel River Water Master Report, Mr. Johnson.
Let me introduce this.
Sure.
Good, Steve. So
for sure.
You heard from Steve last year. He gave us a little report, the River Water Master Report, Long Beach versus the San Gabriel Valley Water Company, the Long Beach judgment, and the Long Beach judgment was critical in our history of the formation of Upper District, and then Upper District intervened and became the defendant.
Correct.
So Upper District is now the defendant in that case, originally filed against San Gabriel Water Company, among others. So essentially everyone pumping water in the San Gabriel Valley or diverting surface flows was part of that judgment. So for almost 60 years, I think we're on 50, you're 59, Steve, if I look at the report. 59th annual report. There has been a river water master, and Steve will get into this, but Upper District appoints representative. Central Basin, now WRD, Water Replenishment District, appoints representative. And then there's a neutral representative. So you got the lower watershed, upper watershed, et cetera. While Steve's talking, I'm going to go upstairs and get copies of the report to give to each of the board members. But now it's also a PDF, and so one thing we may want to consider is making that available online.
Sure.
This is a real critical report, not only to the main basin, to the upper watershed, lower watershed, the way that judgment works is very critical to how we in the upper watershed manage our water supply. So, with that preamble, Steve?
Sure. Thank you, Tom. Okay. First, I wanted to we'll take a second and congratulate you all on your building. It's my first time here. It's beautiful. It's pretty cool. So, congratulations. River Water Master. As Tom pointed out, there are three River Water Masters. I'm a River Water Master of the upper area. Dick Roan, who essentially was around when it was created back in 1965. He's still there, although he worked for Max Bookman Edmondson. Max was the representative then. Tom Stetson, my boss, was the representative before me. And we've had multiple representatives that are the independent third party in the middle. Bob Gorelli, executive officer from the regional board, is the independent. He lives locally, very smart guy, an engineer, so we work together. The thing to understand most about the Long Beach judgment and the River Water Master is that it is, and I don't mean to make it complicated, it's not really that complicated, but it's an engineering water master, it's an accounting water master, and the whole purpose of the judgment and the water master is to allocate, understand and allocate the flow of the river, both surface and groundwater, between the upper and lower areas, which are separated at Whittier Narrows. And the judgment basically sets up the criteria. The engineers back then, Max and Tom, were pretty bright guys. They used a lot of information. They did a lot of research. They did a lot of correlations between rainfall, runoff, groundwater levels, and flow, surface flow, groundwater flow through the narrows. And they developed basically an engineering formula to determine a fair and equitable sharing of the flow of the San Gabriel River. That's what they did. And that's what this judgment is. And what our job is to first evaluate each year and to determine what the fair and equitable entitlement is each year based upon rainfall. And then our job is, as the water master, is to do the accounting, do all the measurements, do all the counting, all the calculations to see whether or not basically whether or not lower area, which is the bottom end, whether or not lower area gets their full entitlement for that year or they don't. And if they get their full entitlement and more, then all we get is a credit. If they don't get their full entitlement and there's a deficit, then we at the upper area are responsible for delivering water to them. And a small amount of initial water can be delivered as recycled water, which they already take. So we pay for that. It's about 14,600 or 700 acre feet. So if we have a deficit, the first amount we can just pay for recycled water. It's still pretty cheap. It's more expensive than it used to be because it's gone up, but it's a lot less than imported water. After that, we have to buy imported water. So it gets very expensive. For those who were at the Water Master 101 today, Tony talked about the makeup water assessment of Water Master. The makeup water assessment of Water Master is only there, the only purpose is to collect money as it's needed to cover a deficit to lower area if they don't get the water they deserve. So that's how the thing works. We said we've been around for almost 60 years. Tony talked about, and he's absolutely correct, there is a long-term accounting provision. It's a little complicated, but basically it says if after 15 years the rainfall falls between 18 and 19 inches, the long-term average, then it triggers a long-term accounting. And we double back and do some overview accounting to see whether or not year-to-year matches the long-term. The first long-term accounting for the judgment, we owed the lower area like $140,000. So it was a wake-up call. And that's when the engineer did the makeup water assessment, collected the money. Turns out we couldn't get enough water to replace, to actually deliver it. So we developed an agreement with the lower area and we did it over 5 years. And that worked out fine. The next two, so that's 30 and 45, the next two long-term accountings, we ended up with large credits. It, basically after the long-term accounting, we zero out and we start over again. The next two, we ended up with large credits, and we have that today. And just as a side note, some of this stuff amazes me. Maybe it doesn't amaze you people, but it amazes me is that long-term accounting can be, it is triggered, can't be triggered before 15 years, but it is triggered when the long-term average rainfall in the four-station index is between 18 and 19 inches. For the first three long-term accounting years, it actually was triggered on the 15th year all three times. That's how accurate they were on long-term rainfall and how the thing works. So that's the big picture. But there is a PowerPoint up there. It talks about the original part, the plaintiffs and the defendants. Tom mentioned a lot of that. It's now Upper District, which is there to represent the producers. The producers ask Upper District to represent them. And then there's WRD. And that's where we are right now. Some of the old knowledge of how this works is nearly gone now. We have a lot in our office. Lower area has very little. Dick Rohn has a lot. He represents them, but he doesn't do a lot of work for WRD, so there's a little bit of a disconnect down there. We're fine right now with the people who work on the Water Master. We work together very well. Everybody does a great job, but I can see going forward there may be some turnover and some things we'll have to address. Because he was around in 65, so he's not young now, and he's still doing his job on the Water Master. Talked about the flows. The reason why this all happened, it was primarily because lower area wasn't getting the amount of water off the river that they felt they were entitled to. That's because the upper area gets it first, and we took what we wanted, and they weren't getting it, so the dispute resulted in this whole deal. It's a stipulated judgment. When you came together, just like the Main Basin judgment, stipulated judgment, they came together, developed a solution, and signed it off. It wasn't a winner or a loser, it's a stipulated judgment. Reimbursement. Okay, so that's what the judgment was entered. Fair division, next slide is basically the fair division of the water supply of the San Gabriel River system between upper and lower area. That's what I described. And there's a mathematical way to do that. The next couple are just like, this is a map that we use. This was an engineering map created. I would expect that you would look at it and say, I can't understand anything up there. And I agree. For me to understand it, I have to be looking for something specific, and then I'll find it and know what it's there for. But one of the things this does is it does create the narrowest area in the narrows. That's a measuring point, the upper and lower area. So that's on the map. A lot of the monitoring wells we use for underflow, they're on the map. A lot of the gauging stations are on the map. But this is basically a map that depicts what's going on right at the narrows. The next slide is a sort of a profile, cross-section profile down the river, showing the narrows right to the left side there. And then this is not the scale, obviously, but it's showing the narrows and then the upper and lower area basins with the mountain watershed. So that's pretty simple. So this is about the upper parties. We kind of talked about that already, upper and lower area parties. And I mentioned it's an engineering, it's a tactical water master is what it is. It's not political. And it never has, I hope it never is, because if it becomes political, there's ways that you could, if you wanted to manipulate the data. But you put honest engineers in place. And we work together, and we have worked together very well over the years. I have a lot of respect for Dick Rohn. He has a lot of respect for us. Just as a side note, the The way we used to, this is just for general information, but the way we used to run the Water Master and the day-to-day routine work, Bookman Edmondson, it's now GEI, they have a staff, we have a staff. Their staff has sort of disseminated over the years, and they don't have much of a water resources staff in their Glendale office anymore. And primarily because of that, originally the records of the River Water Master since 65, they've all been kept in Glendale. And the way we do the work is one office normally does calculations, the other office checks, and then we go back and forth. That's how it works. That's all switched over now. All of those records have been moved to our office because we're the long-termers now. We're the ones with all the experience. So we maintain all of the records, and we're now doing probably 75% of the work. And lower area through Dick Rohn's office, they do a lot of the checking. But we still come together and resolve all the issues and make sure the accounting is correct. So the way it works, on the next slide, I mentioned to you four station index. Okay, there's the stations, rainfall stations, and they're in our watershed in the main basin. We've had to...
All right, we will resume this meeting. And does our attorney have anything to report?
Thank you. Madam President, board members, one item was taken up in closed session by the board, and that was potential litigation. It pertained to a dispute over delay damages on the contract pertaining to the construction of this building, and the board, on a unanimous 4-0 vote, authorized a resolution of that dispute at $82,000.
Thank you very much. All right, and with that, we will adjourn. Thank you, everyone. News articles in our packet, a lot of pretty good ones due to the recent weather. Item 9, attorney's report.
Thank you, Madam Chair and board members. Very briefly, our office this past month focused on attending committee meetings and working with staff on updates for the City of Alhambra lawsuit.
Thank you.
That is the Water Master status conference.
Okay. Thank you very much. Do we have any questions for our attorney? Seeing none, we'll move on to item 10, engineers reports.
Thank you, Madam President. I probably talked enough already. I'll just give you some updates. One thing kind of important, in your packet, you'll see a new format. I think it's the first one, Tom, right?
Yeah.
Okay. New format. This was Tom's idea. Tom's used to looking at DWI format.
Wait until they like it or not. Well, they like it is my idea.
Yeah. I think they'll like it. Everybody I've seen likes it. It's modeled after DWR, more illustrative and easier to follow than a bunch of lines. So it's good. I apologize because it's not as updated. The data is not as updated as my report, which I got in the old format, but I'll give it to you anyway. So anyway, good format. We will make sure it's updated when you get it each time. Keywell, as of the 3rd, compared to what the other the DWR format was only 3rd of March, was only through February 24th. But as of the 3rd, Keywell is at 189.7. A magic 190, folks. That's a big step because the next one's 200 that we want to hit. So 189.7, up 2 feet from the prior week. Almost 9 feet from the prior month, 8.9 feet, and 8 feet from the prior year. So we're looking good there. Rainfall that we've got locally, and I'm going to add, actually we do have St. Gabriel Dam.
Yeah, we do.
I think they've added that. I think that was because Tony likes it. Somebody said they left. Anyway, Puttystone Dam, so far this year is about almost 19 inches, which is about 150% of long-term average at Puttystone. San Gabriel Dam is about 40.03 inches. This is as of March 5th, which is 186% of long-term average, consistent with what Tony reported. Tony already reported local spreading, which we have about 80,000 acre feet. I think that's good. Reservoir storage, about 60,000 consistent. My numbers were 56 something, so we're all good there. Water quality, this is Watermaster Title 22 program as part of their administrative assessment. February, 75 wells sampled, in January, 22 wells, and we did not receive any reports of new wells that were shut down due to water quality issues. And that's all we have. I would like, you know, you have a chance to have a look at the key well, because it's going up, folks. It's kind of nice. It's been a while.
Madam President, could I note that my number was double-checked by Steve and audited by Jose?
You did a fantastic job, Tim.
There must be a reason.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Do we have any questions or comments for our engineer?
Can I just say, while Tony was talking today, I got an alert to Watermaster about the weather for Friday.
Yeah.
And you told me about 10 years ago, you said, we're going to have a storm where houses are going to be going down to the river.
Yeah.
In the river. And they said trees are going to be going.
Yeah.
It's going to be a horrific storm.
Yeah, not this one. You think?
Yeah, they said Friday.
Yeah, we're hearing they're upgrading it to 1 to 4 inches in our footage, which is good. I'd like more, but it's good.
I leaned over to Linda and I said, you may be able to see the river at Spillway, which is awesome but scary. So it hasn't happened in a while.
If it spills, we'll want to get a drone flight. We'll want to get that on a drone flight.
Yeah.
And get out of there.
On the written report, the new format, let us know what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like added, taken off on that. Look it over if you've got questions on it. One thing at the bottom of the, I think it's at the bottom of the first page, is imported water deliveries.
Yes.
You'll notice those tables are blank. That's because since January 1st, we have not delivered any imported water because there's no room.
Correct.
We got it, but there's no room.
Yep.
Excellent. All right. Very good. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Moving on to general manager's report.
So, and Patty and Evelyn, just think about things that I'm not mentioning. I've only got a couple of things. I'm not going to talk much about our water supply. It looks like, you know, the state allocation is 35%. That is an extremely conservative number by DWR because they kind of screwed up last year and they put it too high and then they had to lower it. They don't want to do that again. That 35% assumes at the time they set that, which was late January, late February, they assume they will get zero precipitation for the rest of the year. Obviously hasn't happened. So I think the expectations are that I would say if you're a betting person, the over under on the allocation is probably over 65%. No guarantee, but it's with all the snowpack, you saw the news stories, it's great. So as Tony mentioned, we're going to work with the county. Right now there's just no room with all the local water, but we'll work with the county, and there might be some Article 21, that's kind of surplus water that the state contractors get that occurs as the snow melt starts. So that might be April, May. If there's room in the county facilities, we may want to take advantage of that. But we'll meet with MWD next Wednesday. Tony and I and our team will meet with MWD to talk about what we want to do this year. And I think what we're going to end up, and Tony and I already agree, we're going to tell Matt, open USG 3 up, work with the county, and keep it open until December 31st. Get as much. I mean, 2019, we put over 100,000 acre feet of imported water. Let's see if we can break that record. So, knock on wood. A couple other things. We are working with Bill Kelly. He is a retired city manager, management consultant. We're working with Bill on some staff team building. So, he's interviewed the staff, and we're going to do some staff team building. April, what was the date of that? Or is it March 20th?
March
20th. Yeah, so we're working on that part of the strategic plan. You know, let's have an efficient workforce. And the open house for our headquarters will be on the 28th of March. When does it start, Patty?
4 p.m.
4 p.m. Here. And Evelyn has promised me the keypad will be disabled. So all you have to do is push the elevator button.
I already did.
Evelyn.
Yeah.
Yeah, disabled.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll give you a report. This is in closed session, but it's in my closed session report. Evelyn, have we got the second quote for the elevator upgrades? Yeah, so we got two quotes. We'll review those and we'll work on our elevator. Patty, Evelyn, anything that I important that I left off?
The window feeder shut down on April 17th.
Pardon?
The window feeder shut down on April 17th. The scheduled one.
Oh, yeah. So the upper feeder, there is a scheduled shutdown April 17th. We're working with the producers who use those connections. Suburban's probably the most significant one. So they're aware of that shutdown, and they're doing some maintenance work on that section of the upper.
Great. All right. Do we have any questions or comments for our general manager? Seeing none. Thank you, Tom. Moving on to item 12, Metropolitan Reports.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Metropolitan Water District will meet this coming Monday and Tuesday, and some of the things up for vote will be the approval of up to $8 million for preliminary design and conveyance reach one of the Pure Water Project, and up to $9 million for preliminary design conveyance reach two of the Pure Water Project. And I believe there will be information on whether MWD will relax some of its conservation measures because of the amount of rainfall, but I don't know. Last week, Upper District and the Metropolitan Water District were in Washington, D.C. for AQUA, and I was asked by Chairman Don Ortega to be part of a meeting with Grace Napolitano. There were four directors to talk about the Colorado River challenges, which are many these days, including the decrease in water in the Colorado River and the ongoing talks regarding the two-year extension of the quantification agreement and positioning for a new quantification agreement talks. And it appears there is a battle looming between California and the seven states and Mexico. MWD specifically wanted to talk to the congresswoman about calling Secretary of Health Becerra to see if California could be allotted more water for health and safety reasons. And those of you who know Grace, she just called while we were there. And I think she was a little disturbed because it said his mailbox was full. But I'm sure she is. She's called again. And for some of you who care or don't care, former chairwoman Gloria Gray has been elected to the Englewood City Council seat by 64% of the vote, so she is now a councilwoman, and we'll see if she'll be reappointed to the Met Board to represent West Basin. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. All right, do we have any questions or comments for Director Fellow? Seeing none, we'll move on to Water Quality Authority reports.
The report's in the packet. So
that's it. All right, thank you very much. Water Master report. So our two representatives, myself and Director Fellow, were actually in D.C. during this past month's Water Master report. And since we do have Tony Santiello with us, if you wouldn't mind giving us a brief update.
Sure. Yeah, it was, for once, it was kind of a light agenda. Our biggest thing was looking forward to the Basin Water Management. Linda's the chair, she might want to add. We have one cyclic storage agreement that was renewed, that was a standard thing. I just want to, with all sincerity, we need to, as managers and groups, we need to really work hard for these. We can't let our foot off the pedal on this stuff. And I've coined a new phrase with some of the producers that may ring true, is it's, why do I care? I was talking and I was looking out in the crowd at another meeting and I thought, I know what they're saying in their mind, why do I care? So that's the angle we have to take, you know, and we it's great that we've got the rain, but as Tom knows, the challenge is people decide they're gonna do whatever they want to do with their irrigation. So, you know, the team, Evelyn helping us with the understanding the finances through Tom and all that, I'm excited about moving forward.
Thank you very much. Okay. With that, we'll move on to Master AB 1234 compliance report. That is in our packet. And if there's no questions on that, we'll move on to director's comments. Director Trevino.
First of all, let me thank our engineer, Tony, great presentation. And every time they speak about issues like this, I learn something. So it's a great presentation. I appreciate that very much. I was listening to the report by Director Fellow on Metropolitan. It seems that there probably will be a push for a new quantification agreement on the Colorado River. I know that's something that the states are pushing for. And also, there's a concern about the fact that we don't have a number on evaporation of the water off the Colorado. And that's something that I think the other states are concerned about. So it's going to be something very contentious in the future in terms of how we deal with the Colorado River. So it's going to be interesting. And that's it for me.
Thank you, Director Trevino. I believe Director Garcia will probably write back.
Yeah, she sent me a note. She did have a commitment that she had to get out of. She had to get to. So.
Okay, yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Director Chavez.
Thank you. Thank you. Just wanted to say that every day in the water business is important. We need to keep, you know, our foot to the our pedal to the metal. When we don't have water, we got to be creative. When we have water, we have to still be creative. You cannot just sit back and just take it in, because you know what will happen? You'll drown.
Yeah.
Right. On a personal note, Friday is my last day of work at the county, and I have filled out 3 applications this last week for retirement. As you know, I always had 2 or 3 jobs going at one time, so I'm retiring from HERS, STERS, and Cal, or SB Sarah. And officially, my official retirement date will be Saturday, I guess. March 11th. But for that upper district, I'll still be here. It's really exciting. It's a different, it's just different to not work and get paid. I don't know what that is. So I will enjoy that, though. Other than that, just different times.
Thank you. Dr. Fellow.
I retired, but I'm ready to go back to work. In some classrooms, I'm going back to work. First of all, I want to thank Tom Love and Patty Cortez and President Jennifer Santana for our great meetings we had in Washington, D.C., particularly with Congressman Grace Napolitano. I think it was more substantive than even Met's meeting with her. She gave us a lot of time, and she's very impressed and wants to know about the regional water recycling project and the Bay Delta she wanted to talk about. And she and I talked privately about Sites Reservoir and updates on our communications and public affairs programs. And she was just very engaged with us, and I thought it was very interesting. Today, as you know, is International Women's Day, and one of our great women here, Patty Cortez, today has been named one of the Valley's Women of the Year by Assemblywoman Blanca Rubio, and Patty will be honored Friday, March 24th at Casa Marina Restaurant in Covina. So I want to thank you for all you do. Very well deserved, Ms. Cortez.
I didn't get an invitation.
It's in the mail.
Thank you very much. All right. That's great news. Yes, for my comments, I will echo Director Fellow. It was a very successful trip. Director Fellow was there both as a representative of Upper District and Metropolitan, so he was quite busy. We did end up going into, I believe it's the Senate meeting rooms.
mm-hmm. into the Capitol, and that was really exciting. We had Senator Petilla there, several other representatives. We had what I thought was one of the most interesting was Kevin McCarthy came, and he spoke to us, and he was very passionate about dams. So it was a different perspective. He had a ton of facts with him. A very interesting and, I believe, successful trip to D.C. One representative did say the drought is over. Ooh, yeah. No, it's not. No, it's not. And then the second thing I'll say is today at the 101 meeting, I spoke with Dave McCulkle for some of his comments that he made at the very end, and it really hit home with what's going on in the basin, because he threw out some numbers at the very end and was saying that we're getting, and Steve Johnson, you were there, 60 to 100 acre feet of water per year in local rainfall. Does that sound about right?
I think he was alluding to that being a deficit that we're not getting.
That's what we're not getting.
Yeah.
Okay. Because basically he was saying that we were not getting, okay, what I understood is that basically we're getting this rainfall, which is a certain amount, and then 220 is what we're pulling from the basin.
Yes.
Oh, when he did the total math, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we did the RDA, a lot of the other elected folks, like cities, had said just the operating safe yield, just zero it out. What Dave was saying, if you take that 150 and then you go to the if you say zero and then you were to go to the actual pumping of 200 or 210, you would have to find 210,000 a year to do that. And so
right.
we can talk about these things, but we always have to look at the practicality. You're absolutely right.
I hope so. But no. the big picture that I got from him is that we're not importing. While we say that we are using 80%, 80% of our rainfall is what we use, 20% imported for our water supply, we're not, that is a big picture of why it's going down and down and down. It's because that is what we're using, but we're getting at such a humongous deficit because we just keep draining that basin. So it just hit home a little bit. Those are my comments. And moving on now to future agenda items. Do we have anything? Seeing none, I believe we do have a closed session today.
Yes, we do.
One item for the record, and that is potential litigation.
Red, you know, things happen, development happens. Provisions to move them around, we've done that. Those are the current ones. The entitlement for the lower area, the amount of water they're entitled in any given year is based upon a prior 10-year running average of rainfall. So you add them all up for 10 years, divide by 10, and you come up with a number. That's the average rainfall. On the next page, well, long-term average, this is the long-term going in. I told you between 18 and 19 inches is what triggers the long-term accounting. You can see annual rainfall for those forestation index, the annual rainfall averages 18.5, so it's right in the middle. Annual entitlement, based upon that 18.5, is almost 100,000 acre feet. That means we're required to deliver right at 100,000 acre feet to lower area on surface and on underground combined as usable water, which is the definition of the judgment. So that's the long-term average conditions. If you go to the next slide, this is the calculation of this year's entitlement. You can see that it's kind of coincidental, but it's kind of interesting. 2021-22, rainfall was 12.6 average for the forestation index. You added the previous 9 years to it and divide it by 10, and the average is the same number, 12.6. And if you compare that to the 18.5, that's huge, much lower than the long-term average. What happens there is lower area's entitlement goes way down. And when lower area entitlement goes way down, and they still get water because they get underflow every year out of our basin, so that's pretty much a set number, we start accumulating credits, and we have big credits, which I'll show you. So that's how it works. Based upon that number, you'll see inches on the left and tenths of inches on the right. That's how you get the lower area entitlement.
Yeah.
You go to, and you can see that 12.5 is not there. And then when they looked at it back at that, when this was created, They never anticipated we would have a long-term average that low. That's how significant this roughly 14, 15-year drought is. Is that they never even anticipated we'd be that low. The lowest they were going to be is 14 inches. We're 12.5 right now. So we had to redevelop those formulas and interpolate between the 14 down to 12 and come up with our own numbers, which we did cooperatively with the lower area to be able to develop their entitlement. So that's how that works. It's very simple when it falls in the chart. When it's not, we have to do a little more work. So that's what we do there. On the next one, we talk about usable water. I said there's a definition in the judgment on usable water. It's not just what goes across the narrows to them. It's got to be usable, which means during flooding conditions. Like right now, we've had sometimes when we're sending a lot of water to the lower area, their spreading rounds are full. The water is going through, and some water is being lost to the ocean. Very rare, only during very, very wet conditions is when it happens. But that water that goes to the ocean, we don't get credit for. It's not usable water. Usable water is underflow and actual water that gets conserved in their basin.
Is that happening now?
To a certain extent, yes, it has happened. We lost a little bit last year. If we look at the annual report, you'll see a little bit of lost water to the ocean. Even last year, it was about 1,900 acre feet was lost. This year, it'll probably be more.
Big 42.
Yeah, on big years, I mean, we've had huge, 50 inches in the basin, we've lost 100,000 acre feet to the ocean. There's just no place to put it. I mean, and I don't want to qualify that. Flood Control District, the Conservation Division, working with the Water Master and district and our basin, do an absolute amazing job of conserving that water. Year to year, long-term average, it's probably, I think, Tom, we've done the numbers, 90-95%. A long-term, all gets conserved. So they do an amazing job. So there's the definition of the usable water. We mentioned long-term accounting. I already kind of just, on the next one, move the next slide, please. Upper area credit, accumulated debit. I talked about that already. The 14.75 is what we get in recycled water. Talks about long-term accounting. I kind of went over that, 18 and 19 inches. And when it happens between 18 and 19 inches compared to upper. So this is, I've already kind of covered that. So go ahead. And then for the last item, I'll just give you this year's accounting. And for the next slide. Okay, so for 2021 rainfall, you already saw the 12.6 inches. We determined what their entitlement was only 53,500 as opposed to the 98 long-term average. So it's very low. The usable water delivered, this is the calculated, the final number of the usable water was 76,091 acre feet. The credit for this year was 22,591. Coming into this fiscal year, we had a credit on the books of 217,686. We're adding that 22,000, and we're now getting up around 250,000 acre feet credit, 240,277. So, very large credit. I'll just mention that it's good to have a credit because you don't want to have to pay for expensive water. A reasonable credit we've looked at the long term of record, and the worst period we've ever seen long term of where we had a deficit on an annual basis to lower area, the most we would ever need might be 100,000 acre feet in a credit to be able to maintain. The rest of it, we're working along with the Water Master at Upper District. And we're working trying to bring that credit down. Ultimately, to bring that credit down, you put more water in the main. When we have local water, you put more water in the main basin, and you don't send water to the lower area, and you start accumulating a deficit, or at least reducing the credit we get. So that's how it works. Tom had asked me to talk about how that happens. How the water coming out of the canyons gets divided between the upper and lower area. And Tony is part of the Protective Association. Tony's right in the middle of it. He actually makes the decisions. No, he doesn't make the decisions.
He wishes.
He wishes, yeah. But Tony's right in the middle of it right now. Everything's happening as we speak, and Tony's working on it. So if Tony wanted to talk about it a little bit, I think it would.
If the board would like to be happy.
Yes, please. Does the record show that we have Director Travis with us?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the biggest point for Steve and his presentation is that they're, unlike a lot of the governing boards, there's actually criteria for those three water masters to serve. Don't get nervous, Patty. I'm not going to talk for long. So
it goes for water, you know.
So you know there are several layers of management in the basin. Really, the original layer is the Protective Association. Protective Association, kind of fascinating. I'm not going to go into all the history, but I'd be happy to present on that. It involves City of Pasadena and disputes and Colorado River water coming. It's kind of fascinating. But in the 20s, the Protective Association was essentially formed because City of Pasadena was the first one to try and develop the San Gabriel Canyon as a resource. Out of that was this kind of infrastructure of landowners and irrigators that stretch from the National Forest to Seal Beach. So I have been, 30 years, either as president of that association or when I came to Watermaster, I've served as what the bylaws call the Watermaster. And I understand the lady who spoke to you about the confusion about the names. It's hard enough to learn this stuff and then everybody's name is the same. But basically, the Protective Association has one committee. They have an annual meeting that's going to, the exec meeting is going to be next Monday, and then the bigger meeting will be a month from that. And what they determine is they give direction to the county. So in the meantime, it has been, I've been in contact with the county in the meantime when they need to make split second or within a couple days decision on the distribution of that water. And so what we look at is all three of us get together, the upper, middle, and lower. There's a rep on the distribution committee. Watermaster annually prepares licenses to divert that water, to use that water. We've kept those intact since we've inherited the records probably 20 years ago. And we sit down and we look at need and we look at other practical things with that distribution committee. So we will have folks in the canyon that will say if they need a little bit of water held back for their treatment plants. We will, in years past, before the ARC, this is an odd thing to use, before the ARC was built, but the project by WRD, we had several times when the lower area said, can you guys forego your portion of that water because we have a multi-year, their old permit used to say over 5 or 10 years they had to average so much of a mix in their basin and they needed native flow to do that. We've given and take. And so part of what, you know, I'm not going anywhere soon unless, you know, the man upstairs says something to say about it. But, you know, I've been asked by some of the younger members now. In fact, there's almost everybody's younger than me now. But to start giving the history of this so it can be handed off to other folks. And so I will get a call from the Committee of Nine that the county's having an issue in the canyon. And because I've just been involved with those folks and kept that relationship, I'll ask them what it is and kind of be the mediator. But the biggest thing, like, people get confused in a year like this. I always say in my talks that a good year is if we can fill and empty those reservoirs at least 3 times in a year. We're on our way to doing that. That's all good stuff. If we would want to make up something, you know, Steve and I have talked about this credit. The only really physical way we can fix it is to hold water up here. To try and do it this year when all the facilities are full, it kind of makes the push and pull on me a little easier because and we've had so many storms. The county goes into a flood control mode at some point. They will call and they will ask certain tweaks. I will not lie to anybody that sometimes that it has to be an instantaneous decision, and I've made those decisions. And it's one of those things where one side's not going to be happy. But a year like now, they're trying to stuff water wherever they can. So even if we were trying to make up the difference, it still looks like we'll probably end up close to 50-50 between the two. Some of the younger folks that have come in after me, we in the lower middle area, I've always said to them, our goal is a 50-50 split on the river. There are some other folks now that we're going to work through that are saying, well, we get 50% of the canyon and 50% of the canyon. That's not a 50-50 split. Now, physically, again, to be totally truthful, because of the way the river is and the natural bottom, we're not going to get a 50-50 split. Because we try as best we can. The only way to really move things around efficiently is like with your USG3 connection. And so we can't forget those licenses. We have to keep those licenses up. Our argument is they support part of what the River Water Master does. Tom and President Santana and Dr. Fellow, anybody else that I didn't see at the 101, I apologize if I'm not mentioning you, but I talked today about physical solution. So the Water Master judgment, the physical solution is essentially you folks. Steve talked about a physical solution. It's different. It's the way that the water's measured and moved. Central Basin's different and everything. And so you need to keep that in mind, because that's part, just like with the names, I'm sure the attorney wouldn't struggle with that because he sees that all the time in agreements, but there are terms that are used that are specific to those agreements. Be happy to come back and give you guys a highlight quickly, because your president asked me to give a quick update. The good news is, and I'm keep in mind, Steve's numbers are going to be different than mine because they've changed daily. But we're in a good year. The only reason I'm saying it's a good year instead of a great year is because we got 500,000 acre feet we need to make up at the end of the day. Kelly and I were on a call the other day. So far, projected to the end of February, the county had spread, 180,000 county, 180,000 acre feet were spread. The only one I care about.
108 or 180?
180. But that goes all the way to Tahunga and all of that. They were telling us that we were at 83,000 into our basin. And if you remember, I always say a rule of thumb, 8,000 acre feet is a foot. So that's 10 feet. It's good stuff.
Yep.
We're still just at the, we may reach the bottom of our operating range. There's another 60,000 acre feet in the canyon, and they, who are very cautious, and Tom, I apologize if I'm stealing anybody's thunder, it's not my intent.
No.
They are saying these new storms are going to be atmospheric rivers. They're going to be warmer, so that means we may have even more flow, because we like to have some snow as like a little mini reservoir. The inflow to the canyon was somewhere around 500-600 CFS, and the outflow was 750. And again, this is days old info, but the point of it is they have to make room for these storms. So it's all good, but on Monday, when we're talking about the split, nature's probably going to make the split for us. And the one thing we need to keep in mind is if they come out better by 6,000 acre feet or 4,000 acre feet, or we come out better, that's not even worth haggling for over during this year. So it's all really good stuff. It's just we need to fill the basin. One little thing, Dr. Fellow knows I always go off on my tangents, but what's really cool for you guys to see that hasn't been there for a long time, county's always said, if you look at San Gabriel, and they get 31 inches there, that's kind of max of how the best operation of the system. San Gabriel Dam, again, my old memory, was at 39 inches and change. That's the one I pay attention to because it's right up there where they need it. You know the canyon, you've got Cogswell that's at a different elevation. Cogswell's over 50 inches. These are gigantic numbers, and the county has had to send some to the ocean, but by and large, they've done a really good job. And, you know, I think Tom's going to talk to you a little bit about, I hate doing this, Steve does this all the time. Well, Tony's going to talk about this or that. Well, I wasn't planning on it, but I'll do it. We're in close touch with Tom to over the summer try and get as much of the state project water put in the basin so that when and if there's another strain on the state project, it's already here. All we do is write a check, and then you guys write a check to Met, and we're in good shape. So we're looking at that, and we know that your connection is below those dams. So they do have some maintenance they want to do on the dams. They do have a little maintenance below the dam that we need to coordinate and talk to them about. And we do need to, one of the things that kind of frustrated me a little bit with them on the call is they said, well, you know, we may not really need that permit. And I said, look, for all kinds of reasons, we're going to close out the permit so we can, Tom can have a tool to spread Colorado River until you guys, you know, build the flexibility in your system. And I told them, they said, well, we want you guys to push for these other improvements, the Met system. And I said, look, those are years out. You put the water in the ground, you cooperate with us in the summer and get it in the ground, and then everybody will be happy. And so that's kind of, you know, that's what I have done for years. I'm sure it'll happen once Kelly finally kicks me out, but we need to have these relationships. Tom and I have made a New Year's resolution that he's going to buy me lunch, you know, a couple times a month, so we're all on the same page. And then the ultimate thing we're banking on is pure water, Southern California, and we need the site reservoir, and we need all these other things. And we were very discouraged because the governor wants to start moving some funds to take care of the deficit out of some of the things that we had set for water, especially recycled water. I apologize for taking so long, but it's good news.
So I wanted to make sure it was clear that the River Water Master, those three members of the River Water Master, do not decide where the water goes. They go through the numbers and the accounting to account for the water only.
It's forensic.
But right. That's why I wanted, you know, an explanation of the Protective Association, who does meet, and that is more political than the engineers,
yes.
To meet to decide where the water goes. If you've got questions, that's fine. I do want to, one thing that I wanted to make also clear, we go out to city councils and say, in the upper watershed, of all the rainfall that falls in the upper watershed, well over 95% of it is captured on average. And sometimes we get questions, well, I don't believe that. Where do you have that? Can I borrow this, Jennifer?
Yes.
So on, and I had the page marked, but now I lost it. I'll find it real quick. On page, there it is. Page 42 of the report is a list of, you know, you guys don't have the report, but I'm going to show it to you anyway. The summary of findings. Table 8, and on line 12 is called unusable surface flow. That line is what's lost to the ocean, correct, Steve? And for last year, it was 1,932 acre feet. Not a whole lot of water. And part of that is recycled water, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So part of that is recycled water.
Yeah, the commingles.
For whatever reason, went down the river channel. So that is the number that we use to calculate that 95%+ of stormwater capture in the upper watershed. But you might ask, well, where do you get this number? But everything Steve showed you, for instance, that map was kind of hard to read, and it's got gauging stations and groundwater monitoring wells. Those are used to measure the amount of water that goes past Wheeler and Narrows. And if it's groundwater, it goes into the central basin, and it's pumped. It's part of the water supply. If it happens to rise as surface water, they divert it into spreading grounds as in a capture. But it's every... You know,
you know, with pretty good measurements. I mean, they're not exact to the last drop. They're pretty accurate measurements. Every gallon of water that goes from here to there is measured. And they use that to calculate these numbers. And that's how we know that we don't lose very much water from that upper watershed of the ocean.
You know, and Tom, too, you maybe think of one thing. Most of the water, that rainfall that falls on the hardscape of our valley ends up south of the Whittier Narrows.
Yep.
And so those are the kind of things that we talk about when they say, and I don't mean to sound negative, it's just that's the term now, that they, us and them, but they might leave out of the discussion.
Yep. So.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a lot of very interesting stuff. Do we have any questions or comments from directors? I do have a question. I always bring up Peck Park because I visit there and I can see it, so it's the most visceral for me, I guess. So is that that, if my understanding, that is the San Gabriel River flow to Whittier Narrows, is that correct?
Part
of
it.
Right there?
Part of it.
Just part of it?
Yeah.
Okay. So those flows that are going right now, and they have been for a couple of weeks, those are going down to, those are basically locks once it passes that area?
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's an uncontrolled structure.
Yeah. Usually when it goes to Peck Pit, it means that we don't have any place else to put it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where it goes.
And that water is accounted for as being, it's accounted for in here?
Correct.
As going to the lower basin?
Correct.
And what percentage is that of the total water, would you say, of... That what other flow is there down to the lower basin besides this?
On the river itself, on San Gabriel River itself.
Right, got it.
That's where the flow is.
Okay.
So the optimum operation for us is exactly what it's doing now. If you go at like Route 66 and you look down the bridge, it's flowing down, it's going maximum, everything's full at Santa Fe. Even when you look in the spillway of Santa Fe, it's maybe 2 or 3 feet there. That's getting into the ground, but they're also shooting it down the soft bottom channel of the river, and you can see the drop structure. So without getting in an accident, if you're coming north on the 605, you look off and the river kind of diverges over towards Santa Fe.
Yep.
That water, that's the optimum way for us because it's the maximum, it's not hardscape. It has a chance to percolate. So... I always try to say, let's send it that way. If they bypass, they've made improvements now, they can bypass right over to Peck. Once it goes past that spillway, we don't get any benefit, and they're all concrete channels.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
and can I ask you, Steve or Tony, do you know what was the purpose? Why was Peck Pit? Now, obviously, it was a gravel pit, but why does the Peck Pit water feature exists? What's its purpose?
I think it's recreational primarily, and maybe fishing. But the bottom is so silted up that you're hard to get any percolation there.
Honestly, Tom, it's like putting stone. At one point, it was part of the flood control system. They only open putting stone now, just to kind of. They hate to do it because
open space
smells funky.
Correct.
That what they do is that's a control point now, so they'll look at the elevation there and give them a little bit of room.
Excellent. Okay, great. And did we have a question or comment from the audience?
Jose, did you have?
Yeah, I looked it up.
Okay.
you
got tired of waiting.
He was accurate? No, I was asking what just the average, you mentioned what the rainfall totals at what the dam was, so I just looked at what that average is. That looks like about 12 inches above average or so at that one.
Right now, yeah.
At that one level.
I'll give you the $5 later.
Yeah.
All right. Great. That was a lot of great information. Thank you so much. Okay, moving on to item D, 2019 strategic plan overview.
Yeah, in preparation for our strategic plan retreat on April 12th, and Vanessa's bringing this presentation up. I thought it'd be prudent to give you a refresher on our 2019 strategic plan in review. So we started that effort in 2018. That was an election year, if you recall. And Ed Means was our facilitator. We retained Ed to be our facilitator for this strategic plan update. And so we went through the process in 2018, but in the fall of that year, the late Brian Urias said he was not going to run for re-election to our board. And so we knew we were going to have a new director. We didn't know we were going to get such a great director, but we did. So we held off adoption of that strategic plan until the new director got situated and oriented. And it was 4 years and 2 days ago the board adopted that strategic plan. It was on March 6th of 2019. So we're 4 years into this plan. Strategic plans typically are something you look at to implement over a 3 to 5 year period. So we're at year four. I know, if you recall, I did talk about doing a strategic plan a year or two ago, but with COVID and not meeting in person, we just, you know, it just didn't make sense to do it. I told the producers, I had a workshop with the producers this morning, to get, and this is the start of our 2023 strategic plan. It was a SWOT workshop, strengths, opportunity, threats, weaknesses, that had facilitated a really good workshop. But I told them this morning, it may be fortuitous that we did not update our strategic plan a year or two ago, because a lot of things have changed and they were very dynamic over the last 3 or 4 years. Number one, COVID. You know, things, our business, the way we look at business, how we do business, are a little different now because of COVID. The second is there's been really dramatic changes in how we're looking at our water supply and the way we plan for water just in that short period of time. Metropolitan was in a very long and arduous, I call it arduous, but a long process of updating their integrated resources plan. But also we had some events that we hadn't seen before, such as the lowest 3-year allocation on the state water project in history. We're now looking at a Colorado River that is in critical at critical levels. And we've, you know, been reminded of the limitations on the MAP distribution system and moving Colorado River water throughout their service area. And so a lot of things are changing, and so I think we're at an opportune time to look at our strategic plan going forward in the future. So here's what we did in 2019. Go to the next slide. You can't read this, but I've got details of these later on. This list, every one of our goals, our strategies, and our objectives. There were 92, if I recall, objectives on the strategic plan. Next slide. But the board also talked about our mission statement. So our mission is why we exist. Why do you exist? What's our purpose in life? And we tweaked this a little bit 4 years ago and came up with that our mission is to consistently meet our region's need for reliable, high quality, and affordable water. Actually, Ed showed us a different mission statement this morning, if I recall. But that's okay. That's okay. We also had a vision statement. So mission statement is why we exist. A vision statement is what do we want to be in 5 years? And so what we want to be is, or our vision is to support a high quality of life in the San Gabriel Valley by providing valued water services. Next slide. Core values, transparency, professionalism, integrity, being collaborative, and being innovative. Next slide. Here are our primary goals: water reliability, financial integrity, effective workforce and governance, and effective community engagement. Those were our four primary goals. And yeah, I've got the number of strategies and the number of objectives under each one of those. So going to the first one, water reliability. And as I told the producers this morning, this is where you self-grade your test. So take it with a grain of salt. But this lists every one of the strategies and each objective within that strategy. And then to the far right is our grade, if you will. You know, green being complete, yellow being in progress, and then red meaning, I said next up because we're not done working on it, but some of these may fall off. We may decide some of these that we may not have completed. Maybe we don't need to revisit those. So on water reliability, we've got a pretty good grade, mostly green to the right. The one area that we didn't get a lot of progress on, and we can talk about, is emergency preparedness. I will say one thing, one at the top on there, that defining the district's role in emergency preparedness At one point in time, there was a consideration of the district being the emergency operations center for all of our producers in San Gabriel Valley. We did learn in the process that that's not going to happen. That's not the best role for our district to have, so at least we've learned that. But there's these other things that we can continue to work on. Maybe the board will ask us to put those in as objectives in the next strategic plan. But the rest of them, we've done a pretty good job on. Next slide. Financial integrity. So that's high marks. You might get into Harvard with those grades. And we did a lot of work. I mean, this was a tremendous amount of work on our financial integrity. And some of the highlights are the our OPEB and our pension liability. We talked to the committee yesterday about those. So we've set up trust funds to handle our OPEB liability and our pension liabilities. We worked out the agreement with Watermaster, the minimum purchase agreement that achieved revenue stability for Upper District. And that was huge and beneficial to both the Watermaster, the producers, and to Upper District. We continue to work. We definitely are effective at utilizing MWD money through our, whether it's our member agency manager funds, other rebates, and so forth. And so that's going really well. Next slide is outreach and engagement. Our representation at MWD, that doesn't refer to which director represents us at MWD, by the way, but that's how we engage with MWD, both with our directors and our staff at a staff level and at a director level. Our support to the Upper District Board, support at committee and board meetings, trying to optimize the board calendar for producer participation. Holding upper district board workshops on key policies and issues, our Water 101, what Steve just did for the board. Our customer and stakeholder engagement, our website, our other outreach to our community, and then our federal and state support, our work in Sacramento, our work in Washington, D.C., and with our local elected officials. Next slide. Workforce and governance. Our workforce is essential to us performing, and so it's very important we focus on our workforce, our safety and health, the awareness of our workforce, maintaining accountability. Not only do we want to have an informed and healthy workforce, but we also need to make sure our workforce is accountable, that we're accomplishing things. Develop a high-performance team. We're small. We're lean, mean fighting machine. What can we do to improve that, and what did we do to improve that? Retention, and part of our retention is because we're small. When we lose one person, then that's 10% of our workforce. One person leaving the district is 10% of our workforce. So if you put it in those terms, we do work hard on that. In the intervening year since the plan was adopted, we actually reduced our workforce by 2 full-time equivalents. So when our chief engineer retired, we didn't have the large capital program that we had or thought we would have 5 years ago. And so we knew we didn't need to, at that time, replace the chief engineer position. And then when Christy left, we thought we'd have to have 3 people replace her, but we readjusted workload and Vanessa took up the bill and we didn't replace Christy. But we couldn't handle, Christy and Evelyn or Elena leaving at the same time. We did have to fill in for Elena. And so we did what we needed to do to have that efficient workforce. In terms of making sure we're working on our staff and communications with the board, making sure we have efficient facilities and systems. One of those, we just completed, and there's, that wall was just painted this morning again, but a new building. So we're in the new building, so we've accomplished that goal. And then making sure we do have efficient business practices. The last page, just a summary. So out of those 93 objectives adopted, with our self-grading method, we've achieved 85% of those. When I say achieved, some of them are complete and we're done. Most of them, though, we've made adjustments, and they're an ongoing effort. There are things that we continue to do, such as transparent financial reporting. We do that all the time. So our next steps is we'll continue to monitor those until the board gives us new objectives.
and we are embarking on the 2023 board review and update of our strategic plan. Whether we call it an update or a new strategic plan, to me it doesn't matter, and we will hold that retreat on April 12th. So we held the producer workshop this morning. There will be interviews scheduled probably the first week of April with primarily the management employees, but other employees as well, and directors. So we'll be calling you in. Those are committee days. So we'll be calling you in to have Ed Means interview each board member individually before that April 12th workshop. Following the workshop, we'll work with the consultant and staff, and we will develop a draft strategic plan document. We'll come back to the board for your review and discussion and input. Along the way, we will continue to solicit input from the producers on that strategic plan. So with that, happy to fill in any more information or answer any questions.
Thank you. Do we have any questions or comments from directors? Okay, excellent. Thank you for the review. All right, we are moving on.